And welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. I'm sure that City Councilman Diego Bernal was expecting some resistance to his proposal to pass a revision to the anti-discrimination ordinance, extending protections to the LGBT community, but I doubt anyone expected things would get this heated and polarized in San Antonio. After all, other cities have passed similar ordinances, but the issue has become a fault line in the local culture war, united a conservative coalition, and is even fueling a recall effort against Bernal. Then there was that recording of District 9 City Council member Elisa Chan. She spoke in disparaging terms against homosexuals. And then there was that sham of a press conference. And tomorrow we're expecting more fireworks at the Citizens to Be Heard part of the City Council meeting. The hits, they just keep on coming. And writing about it is Express News columnist Brian Chasnoff. And he joins us now on The Source. Brian, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, all this issue, they're just making your job too easy.
Well, I certainly don't have to sit around and think about what to write about.
So the tape, the recording, the secret recording of Elisa Chan, how did you arrive at that? Can you talk about how it came to you and how long did you have it before you decided to write about it?
Well, it came to my attention through a source that this recording existed, and that James Stevens had it. And so my job at that point was to reach out to James and convince him that it would be in the city's best interest to release that tape to me.
And a lot of people have locked on to the tape. That's the one where Elisa Chan is in a city office, her city office at City Hall. She's talking with her city staffers about this ordinance and also about her political future and things. And they're saying that this was a private conversation and should not have been made public. So how do we talk about that?
Well, I think it's done a great service to the debate. I think it's clarified a lot of things about the opposition to the ordinance. Chan's supporters coincide with the opponents of the ordinance, and they both have similar... What Chan said in that private setting is now the same as what a lot of the opponents of the ordinance are saying. So it's clarified the debate to where I get the sense that there's this fundamental feeling of revulsion among some citizens in San Antonio toward the gay community, toward the LGBT community, and that is what underlies the opposition, in my opinion.
It's interesting that there are people who say this ordinance is not needed, that San Antonio is a tolerant city, so we don't actually need to have an ordinance like this. But the opposition to the ordinance, and especially in these terms that we've heard, that they just kind of like I guess we really do need an ordinance like this if we have people who are willing to speak out and act so hard to prevent it from coming into being.
I'd agree with that. I've gotten a lot of supportive emails, people who love the fact that these columns have revealed Elisa Chan's feelings and you know, moved the debate into an entirely different realm. But I've also gotten a lot of hateful emails toward me and toward the LGBT community. And my reaction to those readers, you know, thank you for reading and thank you for further illuminating why this ordinance is needed, because all that this ordinance is attempting to do is to bring the LGBT community up to the same level of protection as other protected classes. And I believe that opponents to the ordinance just simply do not want that to happen.
Yeah, in the letters to the editor section of the paper, you see a lot of attacks on the paper for tabloid journalism. Someone wrote attacking the newspaper and all of the local liberal TV stations, all of them, every single one in San Antonio is liberal because they have reported on this issue. It seems sort of wild. I had no idea.
I thought that most people would appreciate being able to understand how a politician really feels about an issue. I think that is an enlightening prospect for any, you know, no matter what her position is or any council member's position, you know, knowing how they really feel about an issue on which they're going to vote. I don't see how that is a tabloid thing.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of the Mitt Romney 47% tape right. that David Corn was able to bring into the national media.
Right. Right.
And, you know, you saw that a candidate will speak one way to one group and to another way to behind closed doors to a different group. And you would think that voters would want as much information as you possibly could get about
right,
it.
Right, right. The phrase that really stood out to me among many in that recording is Elisa Chan's use of the term questionable confusions. She says, maybe I should use some throw out some questionable confusions in attempting to oppose the ordinance. Well, a lot of people who observe city council get sort of exasperated when certain council members do that, because we sort of say, here they go again, they're just trying to confuse the issue, and we're not really getting to the heart of the matter, which of course is sort of what my job is and any journalist's job is to get to the heart of the issue. And I think that it's going to be very interesting to see tomorrow in B session, when all the council members convene in city council chambers to discuss the latest draft of the ordinance, how the opponents on the council frame their opposition.
So these questionable confusions, that's like FUD. We hear a lot about FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt these days, that when you oppose something, you don't directly oppose it, but you raise these questions or you try and confuse people. And that seems like with this whole issue, like if we pass this ordinance, then men and women have to use the same bathroom
right,
now.
Right. I wrote a column about that as well. There's actually a decision by Phil Hardberger, back when he was on the appeals court in 99, that, you know, set the law of the land in this jurisdiction, essentially saying that chromosomes is what determines sex and gender. So, you know, no one's going to be prosecuted for prohibiting someone from going into a bathroom. That is a red herring.
So we're going to have no bathroom police, or, you know, making sure that...
No, nothing like that.
Because that seems to be the thing that got people going. Our phone lines are open. If you want to join the conversation, let us know what you think about this incredible story. Just doesn't... I think, okay, now the story's done, and then something else pops up and it comes back at you. 614-8980, 614-8980. What about this recall effort for Diego Bernal? I mean, I wonder about, should we even be covering this recall effort? Because I don't know if these guys are going to be able to actually get the signatures that they need, and we're giving them credibility just by covering it.
Well, they need 6,000, which I believe would be 10% of the eligible voters in District 1. And I think that could be an attainable goal. And I think they definitely deserve coverage. And I think... they deserve scrutiny, because we had a reporter follow them around this past weekend and, you know, documenting how they attained some signatures through FUD, to use your term. So,
yeah, but I mean, he was just elected. I mean, just recently, with no opposition. If they really, and this ordinance was already up and about, and we knew about it during his reelection campaign, why didn't they just put a candidate against him?
The other question is, why don't they pursue a referendum on the issue and not make a political attack against the council member?
And in that article that you cited from the Express News, one of the quotes was, "We want a do-over on Bernal." Well, is that what recalls are for? Is that an abuse of the recall system? Is it for do-overs, or is it for when a council member does something that brings shame to the city of San Antonio or breaks the law, gets convicted, that you want to oust a guy? I mean, so we're going to continue the conversation. We got to take a quick break. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. We want to hear from you. What do you think about this ongoing debate about this ordinance? Give us a call. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. It's the story that just keeps on giving. The ordinance to refine San Antonio's non-discrimination policy, and it's just ballooned into this... people are divided. It's stratified the city. We want to hear what you think about it and the process and how we got where we are today. 614-8980, 614-8980. Let's go to the phones. Mary is on the line. Mary, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. I kind of feel sorry for Elisa Chan. She's being vilified for saying things in what she thought was a private meeting. And you all are talking about, isn't it nice to know what candidates really think? And if that's so, then maybe we should tape everyone's private meetings to see how they really feel. And I'm a little concerned about this because I feel like I'm going to be vilified if I say something and someone's going to say, oh, you can't say that. You know, I thought we were supposed to have freedom of speech. And just because I say things doesn't mean I'm going to keep someone from getting a job or I'm prejudiced against people. But I should be able to have an opinion, be able to express that.
Well, Mary, you do have an opinion, and Elisa Chan has every right to her opinion and to say whatever she feels like. Her freedom of speech was nowhere dampened or infringed upon. She can say whatever she wants.
Well, then how come she's being so vilified for it?
By whom?
Oh, the media.
Okay.
The media has just attacked her.
Right. She has a lot of supporters as well. And when you say the media, who exactly do you mean?
Well, in the newspaper, on the radio, whoever's talked to her has really vilified her and attacked her.
I
haven't heard who has come out and said she should be, I mean, it's okay to have her own opinion.
Well, no, I'm saying it. I'll say it right now. Put me down. David Martin Davies from Texas Public Radio says that Elisa Chan can have her own opinion, and I support the fact that she has her own opinion.
And as a journalist, I'm overjoyed that she expressed that opinion.
I mean, everyone needs to be able to... Mary, and you have your own opinion, and that's fantastic, and thank you for calling up and sharing it with us. You know, we do not want to keep people from saying what they really feel. That's what needs to happen, and so that's not part of the issue.
Well, it seems like that's turning into the issue, because I think people are taking advantage of what Elisa Chan did say, because she thought she was in a private meeting. And for that person to record her and then give it to the media, I think, oh, my gosh, she trusted that person. And I hope that person never gets another job in any political office, because they were not trustworthy for her.
Okay, and that's probably anybody who's going to hire him is going to have to deal with that issue. But that is between, Elisa Chan and James, who made that recording.
I just feel like the way it's been said, my biggest problem with San Antonio, I just went to H-E-B and was standing in the aisle, and there's only Mexican food there. And I know that this is not what this is talking about.
I know, Mary.
San Antonio is turning into Mexico, and I feel like
Mary,
freedom of speech, let her talk.
Mary. Do you really want to say those horrible things right now? That's not cool. All right. Thank you, Mary. Appreciate that. All right. Freedom of speech. All right. Let's go on to the next freedom of speech contestant. Daisy, you're on The Source. Welcome to the show. Daisy.
Hi. Thank you for having me. So I wanted to bring up the fact that a lot of people seem to be confused about what freedom of speech is. And freedom of speech is, you know, your First Amendment right from protection against the government. Doesn't say anything about public backlash. So yes, while you are certainly afforded, you know, your freedom of speech and afforded your right to an opinion, you are in no way protected against what the public might react to your opinion. And however vile they may be, again, yes, I do agree that you have, you know, the freedom of speech, but you do not have freedom from backlash.
Yeah, I just got to say that's a great point that I haven't really made in anything I've written, but it seems like freedom of speech would apply first and foremost to the public, and in this instance, it would be any reaction to Elisa Chan's statement, whether it be...
She wasn't sent off to a gulag or anything. I mean, she's able to say whatever she wants. We have freedom to do that. And Daisy, you make a great point. But a lot of the people, their objections are, it's my freedom, not your freedom, that they're worried about. So they're concerned about their freedom to discriminate and not concerned at all with other people's freedoms to be able to live their lives without being discriminated upon.
Well, you know, to that I would like to say, then I was a political science major and I just graduated. Then you have to look at the Hahn principle, which states, you know, your freedom ends where my rights begin.
Exactly. Daisy, thank you so much for your phone call. Appreciate that. And back to the phones. Mike is on the line. Mike, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. You know, I got to say, I just love you guys because I was under the impression that people in your seats were supposed to be presenting this rather objectively. Instead, you've made it very clear that you think anyone that would support Lisa Chan or do find the homosexual style disgusting are just totally out there and weird. And as a matter of fact, I feel that's not the case at all. And I feel like people have a right to their opinion. And I'm also very disappointed that as journalists, you're not presenting this objectively and let other people discuss it instead of coming out and making someone feel uncomfortable that they might actually be against this. Now, horrified you are at how weird some of us who think normal thoughts would be. It's surprising to me that as both of you as journalists have no objectivity on this whatsoever.
Well, just a side note, I'm a columnist, so I make commentary, which is based in opinion. So
I'm really trying to follow you, Mike. So you're saying that we're biased because we're saying that I haven't said that Lisa Chan is right or wrong or whatever. I've only said that
you clearly said you have no idea why something like this would be going on, and that maybe people do need some kind of special protection because there's actually
she voiced her disgust for people who are homosexual. She said that outright. It's disgusting, and she wants to keep them from being able to adopt children, which is currently the law. So, I mean, apparently, and she's a policymaker in San Antonio, and people kind of have a right to know where she stands
and
on these issues.
I just want to add that San Antonio has one of the highest per capita rates of people of gay people with children. So it's that's a sizable constituency, at least in the city.
You know, and well, so go ahead, Mike. I don't want to cut you off.
But your point as a as a journalist or someone on the radio has been clearly made that you feel as though people who think differently than you or who think similarly to Chan are some kind of weirdos that the city needs to be protected from. As a matter of fact, I'd have to say that it's just the opposite of that. Frankly, I totally abhor the fact that homosexuals would be adopting children. If they want to live their own lifestyle, then that's fine. But the fact that they come out and demand all these special rights, that they should be treated like a minority race, you know, that they should demand protection like a Hispanic or a black person could, who would be, discriminated against because of something, whereas, the fact that they might be looked down upon because of their sexual orientation or actually because of what they do, that's a totally different situation. And I just I agree with Chan that it's disgusting.
All right, Mike. Well, I'm glad you called in and we got you a chance to voice that. And we're going to move on, but I'm not going to debate you on that, okay? Thanks for calling in. Let's move on to the next one. Jody is on the line. Jody, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to speak to what the previous caller, Mary, said. And, she was saying that Chan was being vilified for her opinion, whereas I really think what she's being vilified for is for prior to being elected, she sought out the vote of the LGBT community and promised to support the LGBT community publicly. And then she turns around and privately expresses her disgust and her lack of support for the LGBT community. So it's not really an opinion I think she's being vilified for, but for lying, basically lying to the community in order to get their vote, and then secretly, what she thought was secretly expressing, how she does not support the community whatsoever. And this last caller kind of called and, talked about how it's okay for us to protect people based on race and not sexual orientation. This is just like what we spoke earlier, what you were speaking about earlier, science versus religion with the textbooks. I mean, we know now that sexual orientation is something that's genetically based, and it's not a choice that people make. And, it's something that needs to be protected. And these ignorant people, like Mary, who was disgusted that HEB carries Mexican food, are exactly the reason that we need these types of ordinances.
All right, Jody, thank you for your call. I'm going to try and get one last caller in. We're really tight on time. Joe, welcome to The Source. We're really tight on time, bud.
I understand. Help me out. Was she in a public building when she was having
yes, she
this
was.
Conversation?
Public okay, building talking so to public was, employees.
Okay, on the clock. How can she claim private when that she's a public figure? And that is my point to the earlier caller. I don't understand how you can just distinguish between the two. She was on the clock.
Did she have a reasonable expectation of privacy while she was having that conversation is pretty much the kind of the issue. But like you said, she was in a public building. And so really quickly, so Brian, as we run out of time here, you're getting a lot of hate mail. This is going to continue.
Well, not a whole lot.
You're getting some, probably more than normal, more than average. I want to thank you for coming up and joining us here on The Source on KSTX. And I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for our callers. We'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.